been in a collision. Now, income is dependent on short or long-term group disability policy from an employer or personal injury policy, which is known as PIP, through an auto insurance, or, in my opinion, the best preference of an individual disability policy. Can you be financially secure by trusting in their willingness to replace lost wages? Will these organizations look out for your best interest? Today's topic will be on you and short or long-term disability. How many premiums have you paid for your policy? Did you think there would be a period of time that you would need it? Now here you are with an injury that prevents you from returning to work. How is or how has disability insurance worked out on your behalf? What type of reputation does the insurer have with its insured, meaning the people sick or injured? Are they known as good faith companies by clients? Are similar to past generations, where employers and employees take care of each other? There was a mutual respect and loyalty between the two. But is this true today? Have things changed once corporations began shipping American jobs abroad? When wages began to stagnate for decades, replaced by cheaper labor? Or perhaps when employers began paying less benefits, exporting more of the cost to government programs or their employees? In this program, your challenges in dealing with insurance companies, self-insured employers, and coping with everyday situations from being involved in a car accident are up for discussion. If you have experience with short or long-term disability, dial 718-766-4385 to be a part of today's program. Again, that number is 718-766-4385. Someone injured just like you is waiting to hear your stories on short or long-term disability. We are coming to you from Seattle, Washington. The title of the article is Think It's Not About the Money? Read on. Quote, on Friday, January 27, 2012, the Seattle Times published a front page article, Madigan on Hot Seat over PTSD. And it was written by Hal Burton and a researcher, David Turum. The frontal assault on the individuals with injuries seemed to follow many of the same patterns, such as deny and delay, even in the military, and typically at the root of the issue is the amount of money due to the injured person. I'll repeat that because I personally, in my opinion, believe that's the same thing with group disabilities. It says, and typically at the root of the issue is the amount of money due to the injured person. Madigan is a military base in Tacoma, Washington. Soldiers from this base have been sent to Iraq and Afghanistan. In this article, a post-traumatic stress disorder diagnosis was given to 14 people who served in these wars. However, a team of psychiatrists reviewed these cases and denied them as PTSD. I stopped there for a moment. Unfortunately, independent medical exams that are given out to car accident victims, in my opinion, are far from independent medical exams. From my perspective, many of them are paid by insurance companies. Many of these doctors are part of the makeup of the process for these insurance companies, and I think that, in my opinion, they follow the same view of denying claims that are legitimate. Okay, I'm going to go on. For too many of the disabled, attempts are made to downgrade their condition, possibly dismiss it completely, or, as in this case, call it malingering in an attempt to perhaps apply pressure to the soldiers. I think that if you took all the, I'm stopping here for just a moment, if you took all the vast number of people who are in car accidents, you would see these same situations that they're experiencing, many of them, unfortunately, as the people in the military. So that shows you some things, traumatic things can happen to you in one place, but the results can, unfortunately, come out to be the same, and particularly when you're dealing with companies that don't want to pay out claims that you've been paying premiums on. I'm going to go back into the article. Pressure, Iraq, or Afghanistan military personnel? I'd have thought that they had already been through the fire, so to speak. Who has created a standard for your credibility and what purpose it has served? Has it served as a means to take your rights away? Is it a tool to break you down when the other legitimate information fails to do so? Don't stand for this. You are human and deserve respect. And your condition does not depend on what they say about you. You know about you. Trust you, not them. Many who use this technique lack the credibility and integrity they should stand for, instead of the credibility they attain through power, not merits. Many insurance carriers attempt to find other reasons for disqualification because they are not willing to pay insurance. Fortunately for these 14 people, someone did notice their plight, and they continued to fight for their benefits. But what about those individuals who are too tired or too weak for fighting? Who speaks for them? Who is helping them? The disabled need to join forces, as these 14 have done, and not go silently into despair or submission to these insurance carriers. Otherwise, the unfair treatment will continue. I need to repeat that. Otherwise, the unfair treatment will continue. Hopefully, the Army will do the right thing by these 14 individuals. They have served their country, and like most people who go to work every day but happen to become injured, they deserve rights and privileges agreed to. The pressure to give in and not fight comes from many sources for most disabled. Many insurance carriers do this by delays, denials, surveillance, harassment, and or intimidation. Know that they, not you, have integrity issues. You are disabled, and that's a fact. Nothing they can do or say can change it. Either they will do the right thing and pay you as agreed, or they won't. But you must put your life back in order regardless. If tired, rest. If others help you, fine. If not, continue to help yourself. Don't give up. You are the most important person in this equation, and stand to get laws changed so this doesn't happen to others. Fraud is often used to scare the disabled from following through with their claims. Fear in society has often been the preferred method of keeping people in their place, forcing people to suffer in silence, restraining their efforts to receive benefits per the original agreement. Insurance companies take, individuals give. End of story. Well, it's only the end of the story if you do not stand up for your rights. Just as politicians are using voter fraud to elicit injustice by hindering American citizens' voting rights, insurance companies are using fraud in the same way against the disabled. In my opinion, in either one of these circumstances, voter or disability fraud, the percentages don't stack up to the suffering caused. It's only to the benefit of those with the power to enact such laws or actions that hurt those with less money and power, typically the 99%. Let's not wake up one morning and have most of our rights taken away by fear tactics and words or deeds. We are better than that. We must stand for what we know are the right things to do for all people in our country. The investigation, not only for these 14 individuals, the same scenario is being played out every single day here in the United States. Many of these people come up against insurance companies that have the resources and the power. These individuals have pain, suffering, and little support. Who will speak for these individuals on a country or state level? The Surgeon General of the U.S. Army? Eric Holder, Jr., U.S. Attorney General? Patty Murray, a Democratic Senator for Washington State? The Washington State Insurance Commissioner? Or perhaps Occupy Wall Street? One thing is for sure. Unless we all stand up as these 14 individuals did, nothing will be done at the country or state level. It's our individual voices speaking together regarding these types of injustices that will bring about change. Workers perform their jobs. However, when close to retirement, individuals are laid off, terminated, or denied benefits. Does this show just how much companies and organizations today care about employees? Most individuals take pride in their work and want to support themselves, families, and communities. And being employed provides this, and respectfully retiring with full benefits when it's time. And that's the truth, from my opinion. How does Congress and corporations chart your destiny when involved in a car accident? ERISA. This legislation Congress developed with too much input from corporations and not enough concerns for the sick or injured individuals, in my opinion. Why is it important for you to get involved in getting ERISA reformed? Because your future and many others may depend on it after a car accident. Most injured people live from paycheck to paycheck and therefore do not have the resources to compete with corporations. In fact, in my opinion, people aren't even making it from paycheck to paycheck, and that's why you see all those credit cards that are astronomical that people can't even afford to actually use today, for the most part, in my opinion. These corporations have lobbied our legislatures, which impacted the written legislation on ERISA. And unfortunately, these laws lean heavily in favor of companies, leaving many employees living in poverty, while benefits that should be gone go to them, actually, go to corporate investors. If you are expecting your long-term disability insurance to provide a safety net in case you're injured, I mean seriously injured, you might want to rethink it. Most policies replace approximately 60% of your income. Do you hear that? 60% of your income. And most people, more than 100% of their income is usually going out every month, maybe 110, 120, and that's why those credit cards are being used. This amount could actually even be reduced further if the policy requires that you apply for Social Security disability. And upon approval, further reductions are made to 20% approximately of your income. So therefore, they were not even going to be paying 60%. They'll only be paying out 20%. Where does this come from? How did that happen? ERISA. And if you're denied, this leaves many truly sick and injured people with a great deal of suffering and losses. Are you a victim of ERISA laws? Has your employer kept benefits instead of paying employees? Because the current laws have, you know what, no penalties. I'll repeat that. They have no penalties for this type of actions or behaviors when employers said, oh, we're not going to pay you. Sue us. Just sue us. Because they know most people can't afford to. What? Sue them. How many people you know who've extended their credit cards have $5,000 to $10,000 just laying around? Because you'll have to pay you the attorney that you had to hire to sue them to get your benefits, right? So that's just definitely problematic. But if you're a victim of ERISA laws and your employer has kept your benefits and actually done it again because of not having to pay any penalties, if you go to court and the judge finds that they should have paid you, they pay for all the suffering and agony and losses that you may have had up to that point, meaning losing your home, maybe your car, maybe your telephone, you're not being able to feed your children, not being able to go to the doctor. I mean, talk about a list that's endless. That's the one. By the way, car accident weekly planners are available, and you can stop by my website anytime during this year if you're involved in a car accident to pick one up. Having both my book, Car Accident by Estra, and the Accident Weekly Planner makes organizing, documenting, and information retrieval easier. So stop by under Estra's Car Accident Help out on eBay or my official car accident site for more information so you can spend time reading, watching, or listening for with some knowledge and support. As a disclosure, I will soon have a lawsuit filed against SC Leveland Constructors Incorporated and LifeWise Assurance Company. Today, we'll spend our time talking about what is ERISA and how it protects your employer, typical employee experience with ERISA, attorneys and ERISA, documentation of your experiences, and ERISA reform petition to Congress on change.org. Most self-insured employers are well-funded and desire to be the insurance company for their employers. However, most employees, in my opinion, do not realize it is actually their employer who insures them. When yearly changes are made, most do not recognize they are not improvements in most cases, but reductions in coverage. One of the most important aspects to realize is that without employment, this coverage is what? Terminated. Which, if in a car accident, can be problematic. Your employer can be the administrator of the benefit plans. They can contract it out, or they can have some mix of the two. The important thing to understand is, from my perspective, they are running the show. Can such a corporation not be biased when it's their bottom lines that are being affected? When it comes to their employees or investors, who will they side with? And when vast amounts of resources, power, and skill are placed on the corporate side, how well can an employee fare, you know? How are they going to do against all of that? Much has changed since 1974 in America. But ERISA laws have not kept up with the times, in my opinion. Prospectively speaking, in the 70s, employers and employees seemed to have respect and loyalty to help build each other up. This was not just executives, but extend to the majority of people employed. But something changed. Companies began moving their jobs overseas, leaving many citizens without jobs and without hope of great upward mobility. Front and center stage seemed to be corporate and investor profits at the expense of the average worker. Without commitment to loyalty and fairness, it became a work environment of every person and every company for themselves. How can the rules of the 70s protect the sick and injured in 2014 when the rules have certainly changed? The Department of Labor states the Employee Retirement Income Security Act of 1974, that's known as ERISA, is a federal law that sets minimum standards for voluntarily established pension and health plans in private industry to provide protection for individuals in these plans. I have to stop for just a minute. Now, they're supposed to be protecting the individuals in the plans, but between 1974 and 2014, something happened. In my opinion, the individuals in these plans are not being protected. Okay, a lot of them are being hurt because the way in which this was supposed to work, in my opinion, isn't really working anymore. I'm going to go on here. Quote, ERISA required plans to provide participants with plan information, including important information about plan features and funding. I'll stop here. And that's basically when you go to work, you get a job, they give you this plan of the their benefit package, and it has all the information, a summary plan of those benefits contained. I always say this, remember to look at what? The fine print, because that's really where it's going to get kind of hazy. I'm going to go on here. Including important information about the plan's features and funding provides fiduciary responsibility for those who manage and control the plan assets. Okay, a lot of times companies don't say, hey, by the way, we're your not only your employer, but we're your insurance company. You usually don't get that. So, but they require these plans do require to establish a grievance and appeals process for participants to get benefits from their plans. I have to just say, I just don't see how they can actually achieve an appeals process when they're both the insurance person, the employer, and the person actually evaluating the appeals process. Ooh, something's wrong with that picture, right? And it says it gives participants the rights to sue for benefits and breaches fiduciary duty. Yes, but how, like I said before, how many people have $5,000 or $10,000 to actually take their case to court? You're asking people who have no money, who've lost their job, who are sick or injured, to actually say, okay, we're going to go sue this company, which typically has more resources, more funding, and actually has a lot of community behind them because they've actually been paying out in different areas. And so they've got a lot of things going for them where you have most individuals with very few of these things. So there's also, it's called the Department of Employee Benefit Security Administration, and its acronym is EBSA. I'm going to say that again, EBSA. And they actually have a list of all the requirements that are out there, not only for ERISA, but other health plans as well. So I just want to summarize and say, ERISA was enacted in 1974, and it was an act to provide for pension reform. And that's where it started. So maybe it kind of got off track because if you look at pension reform and the recent crash we had, a lot of people lost a lot of money. Now, that 1% has made almost all, I'm sure, their money back and more. But the poor, the middle class, where are they? They're a lot worse off than when they were before. Excuse me. And many haven't even got their jobs back. Okay, this legislation was actually introduced by John Herman, which was a Democrat of Pennsylvania, and this was in January 3rd, 1973. Okay, it was actually passed by the House and Senate in 1974. You can see sometimes we can work together as a Congress. So, and the president who signed it into law was President Gerald Ford in September 2nd, 1974. Our current work environment is very much different today than in 1974, and the needs and protections of employees, in my opinion, have changed. Therefore, it is definitely time to review and update ERISA. In my reviews of employer treatments after requesting short-term disability is that most companies make a determination which allows injured or sick people benefits for the term of that policy. However, when these individuals are moved from short-term to long-term policy, many are approved for shorter periods of time, with many employees not realizing that typically after 2 years, many employers deny their claim and force them to fight for their benefits. Many corporations know that many individuals are either too sick or hurt to fight them for benefits and do not have the resources to start litigation or are concerned about coming up against a company with all the resources necessary to keep the trial actually going on for years. All the while, injured people are struggling to get by physically, emotionally, and financially. Wrongly terminating benefits, in my opinion, happens quite often, with little recourse for employees who are one paycheck away from losing all that they have in most cases. Many companies provide work fairs, which provide them with a stronger hold, in my opinion, because if employees receive care within this network, it provides care workers with more income and creates a loyalty to the company and not necessarily to the employees they treat. They may perhaps want to return in hopes of obtaining actually more patients. Therefore, you want to make sure, or you actually might want to think twice before choosing a care service from this pool that you receive from your employer. Yet many sick and injured go through the process hoping for a fair and just outcome, and to no avail in many cases. Many take it as far as they can. And this is a good thing because you need to do all that you can and that all that is expected that you can do. The rest of it has to rely on the people with the power. Unless, of course, Congress decides to level the playing field. I need to repeat that again. Congress, please level the playing field. Make it a just place, not only for employers and their lobbyists who have free access to you, but those who actually vote, like in 214, you know, we vote, and you're there because of us. They pay you and lobby, but one day we're going to wake up, and I hope when we all wake up and vote in 214, hint, hint, that you'll realize that we're the ones that you need to be concerned with more than the lobby. To recognize it is definitely time for the revision in ERISA laws. When people look at their government to hold the reins of corporate responsibility, one can only hope that they will also do the job with integrity and justice, because this is one of the most important gifts Congress can give to their constituents. Regardless of the outcome of ERISA law on your benefits, realize your life will go on no matter the difficulties. It is important to realize they are not your only hope. You are your hope. Your dreams keep life positive. And regardless of your injuries, if you continue to seek out good things in your life, you will find them, even in the midst of a storm, fighting for your rights that you deserve and your benefits. Share your story. Many need to hear it. The shame isn't upon you, but those whose greed perhaps exceed their conscience of doing the right things from my perspective. In summary, many people go from injury to short-term disability to long-term disability for about 2 years and then are cut off. This is quite common. So hope for the best from your employer that they'll be fair and just, but prepare for the worst so that you won't be surprised. Attorneys that actually help clients with ERISA, There's a wide spectrum of those who are not very qualified, in my opinion, and very qualified. But I always recommend that before you actually make that choice, that you actually learn a little bit about what's going to happen and what the process is, so that you can personally evaluate anyone that you might sign up for or sign with to take on your case, if you can afford to. I think many people aren't able to do that. But one of the places in which I found a lot of great information was a website of attorneys Dell and Schaefer. Also, the Department of Labor does have a great deal of information. But I want to give a couple quick quotes from the Dell and Schaefer website about a couple of the claims in which they process. And the first one they have out on their website is a title called Disability Lawyers Win ERISA Long-Term Disability Appeal Against Hartford. Quote, disability insurance lawyers Dell and Schaefer prevailed in an ERISA appeal filed on behalf of their clients when the Hartford Insurance Company wrongfully terminated her long-term disability benefits. The client was suffering from severe, progressive, and a chronic back and leg pain related to degenerative disc disease for several years. I want to stop here for just a moment. Most of the time, when your employer, they're your employer, they're also your insurance company, and they also are the people who decide your appeal, most of the time, in my opinion, they have enough information to weed out credible and not credible claims. In my opinion, a lot of this stuff has to deal with wanting to pay and who's actually filing the claim. Let me go on here, quote, Hartford decided to terminate her benefits. Hartford claimed that they performed video surveillance on four separate occasions and observed her sitting for an extended period of time on one occasion. They also observed her walking without a limp on an occasion. I need to stop here for a minute. This is an example. First of all, they say they actually only followed her four separate occasions. I don't know. I personally know harassment and intimidation is real and that they follow you all the time. That's why you need to take a camera around so that you get their faces, their plates, their pictures. Some of these companies, they hire people who are not legally allowed to actually perform surveillance, but they do. Be careful because, yes, they might even hit you because they get too close. Some of them do not drive very safely. So that's just a word to the wise on that. But wherever you go, whatever you do, be yourself. Don't stop being who you are. Do not let them harass and intimidate you to the point that it stops you from living your life. You've been injured. You're sick. You know you are. It's documented in your history. Continue to try to improve your life to do better. Do the best you can. And do not let someone that decides that they don't want to pay you and they would rather pay hundreds or thousands of dollars in attorney's fees or in surveillance rather than pay you what they owe you. You know, that's really a tragic perspective in my opinion. But whatever they do, regardless of what they attempt to do, do the best you can. And that's the reason why I personally became an advocate, because I think a lot of the experiences that happen to people injured in a car accident because perhaps their employer doesn't want to pay their claim or the insurance company or both, that shouldn't be a reason for them to be able to give all their profits to their investors while many people injured in car accidents or sick live in poverty because they paid premiums in cases happen. In my opinion, there's something really unfair and wrong about that. But don't let me get, I'm going to go ahead and get back in the article. Quote, in August 2010, Hartford informed our clients that her disability benefits would be reinstated as they determined that she was disabled and unable to perform the essential functions of her occupation. Our law firm continues to handle our client's disability claim on a monthly basis. Okay, so there's two things I want to say here. The first one is you notice that he's saying that they have to handle it on a monthly basis. That means that they, for whatever reason, means that she's got to go on, I think it was a she, I'm not sure, has to go on fighting with this firm to be able to get her benefits each time, and she has to have the attorneys. And so by the time it really gets over, what is she really getting? I don't know the amount of this claim, so you need to know. But what I'm saying, from what she could be getting, like 100% of her benefits from her company that she paid premiums on, that would be the right thing to do. But we don't see necessarily that really happening very often. Another thing is reinstating of her, determining that her benefits. So that means that's a process that they want to do. They want to continue to monitor over and over. Yet, with most of these, I don't know about this policy, but most you have to actually sign up for Social Security Disability. And most people know getting through Social Security Disability is not easy. 2 out of 3 denied. And it's a major process. So most sick and injured people, first of all, don't have all the energy for this. They're just trying to survive and make it through. But all of these, in my opinion, obstacles are placed there to make it so much more difficult for people to receive the benefits that they deserve and the premiums that they have been paying on. Something is wrong with how we're doing this, and this really needs to change. Okay, I'm going to do another short, quick one here from Dell's and Schaefer's website. It's called Disability Attorneys Dell and Schaefer Prove to Prudential That Its Decision to Deny Benefits Was Wrong. Quote, our client was originally denied long-term disability benefits by Prudential after he was forced to make a claim due to persistent symptoms of related to a concussion he had previously suffered. He worked as a senior project manager for SNC-Lavalin Corporation. Due to his symptoms that included post-traumatic headaches, vision impairments, decreased focus, sleep dysregulations, cognitive deficits, fatigue, dizziness, anxiety, blah, 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 go on and on. They list all of that on. It says, he was forced to leave work on December 17, 2011. During this time of December 17, 2011 through September 2012, the client was unable to perform material and substantial duties in his occupation. Okay, I need to stop here for another second. There comes a point where they say, okay, for the first 2 years, you're not able to do in your occupation. After 3 years, it's usually, if you look in your policy, your benefit policy, that's why you have to read that fine print. It says it can do any kind of work, right? So it moves from your occupation to that. A lot of like doctors and lawyers and dentists, they're really wise because in theirs they say they have it defined as to be able to do their occupation, which the average citizen doesn't actually get in their policy, which is something. So there's a lot of, in my opinion, things that are placed in this policy to try to help employers not to have to pay benefits. Because most people, if they're disabled, they're not going to be able to. And most people who are disabled, if they are approved by Social Security, they've already demonstrated their disability, in my opinion. Policies require employees to actually apply for Social Security disability because they're hoping that it's denied, in my opinion, and that they can deny it, which is, to me, tragic. After being denied in the letter from Prudential in May and December 2012, the client came in contact with attorney Alexander Palamara of Dell & Schaefer. Hopefully I pronounced her name correctly. And she did the filing for the claim. So, and to make a long story short, it says that luckily for the parties involved, a copy of the claim had already been filed and produced to the client by Prudential. And I, let's see here, it says, armed with 20 days and a team of experienced disability specialists, attorneys Dell and Schaefer were able to turn this case around. Sometimes they're able to and sometimes they won't. Sometimes those connections, remember that a lot of these companies are kind of connected in their community, so it might not be as easy as it appears to get people to take your case or to the outcome to be what it needs to be, at least in my opinion. Currently, do you have a lawsuit against a self-insured employer or a long-term disability company? If you do, make sure to keep good documentation, not only for yourself, but others who actually will share in the same circumstances. Perhaps one day, Congress, let me repeat again, Congress will decide this is way too many sick and injured people to suffer such an unjust fate and provide a fair and balanced ERISA legislation. Listeners, is it time again to write up an ERISA reform petition to Congress on change.org? Tweet me at Estra's Radio Show on Twitter, because when you're ready, I'll be there. This is very important to me. I think it's time for reform. The days can be long after being involved in a traffic collision when injuries are sustained. The mind is typically ready to go back in time where no pain and suffering existed, yet the body needs time, in most cases, to find its way back to recovery. The 6 to 8 months of short-term disability for most people allows time to accept current condition, and those who can see to the end of an injury can once again dream about restoration of perhaps a future that resembles their past or at least moves them forward. However, people who move into the next stage of long-term disability face a whole new set of hoops to jump through, among other challenges, on the average. Some individuals come to the point of accepting their current plight, yet realizing there is still more of life in their future, while others remain lost from being thrown into a new situation and are still learning to navigate the tough terrain. After all, now there are more medical appointments, attorneys, insurance companies, unexpected bills, loss of income, Social Security disability, and that's just to name a few of the possible changes. Indeed, this is a lot to handle. While most of us are inexperienced with being in such a situation prior to being thrown into it, one doesn't have to learn everything through personal experience, especially since so many others have learned about living with a disability and have gained understanding on the injury process. There is wisdom, knowledge, and support to help navigate these problems. I would also like to remind you that Car Accident Weekly Planner is currently available. Stop by any time during the year if involved in a car accident to pick one up. Having both my book, Car Accident by Estra, and Car Accident Weekly Planner makes organizing, documenting, and information retrieval easier. Stop by eBay under Estra's Car Accident Help and also my Estra's official car accident site. There's more information there, and you can spend time reading, watching, and listening for valuable accident wisdom, knowledge, and support. Are most employees terminated after being on long-term disability for 2 years or less? If you are required to apply for Social Security disability and are denied the first time, do they discontinue your claim with them? Most people are denied SSDI on their initial request, and most employers know this. Or do they say, you are not disabled, immediately terminate your benefits, and request reimbursement for benefits received? Yes, all those things are possible. Did you know this? Compassion and understanding are not always present at a time when needed by the sick or injured. This road can be hard, long, and with little help and few resources. Does life seem unfair to many injured or sick people? For centuries, life has not been fair. But this should not stop you from dreaming and reaching to achieve it. In past generations, many people with disabilities were not permitted to participate fully in society. And still today, there are many places where those exclusions exist. Yet, many doors have opened. ADA has made it so fewer public places can be designed which hinder people with physical disabilities to enter a place of business. And more people are now aware that excluding others as a whole is very disrespectful and can reduce the actual creativity that can be explored when we take a more inclusive approach. Bringing unique skills to the table can provide many people with a new point of view that sparks creativity and brings new ways of not only viewing the world, but positively influencing your actions in it. So consider taking it one day at a time. Will everyone accept your strengths and weaknesses? Probably not. But you are not in this world for them. These types will always be there. It is those who seek to improve their journey, to enrich the lives of those whom they come into contact with, and to indeed make our world a better place, not just in words, but in deeds. This is the growth the world is seeking and not letting go of. In order to have a full life, regardless of one's condition, one must reach for it. So hold on and go for it. Life can be like a roller coaster. At the end of the ride, you can realize what you can live through, how much you can learn in addition to giving and receiving. However, getting through the process of long-term disability can be a fight for the benefits that you deserve. So you can go through the ups and the downs of this process and remember never to get too discouraged. Stay focused on your efforts. Realize sometimes things will go well and sometimes you'll wish you'll have stayed in bed that day. Evaluate what you have learned from the situation. Realize companies you are coming up against have been in this game for a very long time. In fact, they have made a lot of mistakes, but have learned to perfect the approach to long-term disability policies. Also, they have more legal representation, money, and skilled human resources who more than likely have done this too many times to count. Make sure that you realize that the process can be an adventure, that it'll probably be similar to a roller coaster, but if you stick with it, stay determined, stay focused, and learn about the process, you'll come out maybe not where you thought you would be, but you'll make it through. I have yet to find the number of people who release their long-term disability claims because of harassment and intimidation, or are denied after 2 years, or people who have not received any benefits at all. How many people are able to receive their disability for the full term of the contract? Considering that most people who are disabled live in poverty, it is an indication that something is not working. Furthermore, unfortunately, approximately 50% of the people who do work don't have long-term disability policies, which means many will be in serious trouble if becoming seriously sick or injured. Therefore, our hope in a future broadcast to bring this information from a credible source to you. If you have located this information, please send me an email or place it out on my Facebook page. Anyone who is worried where their next check will be coming from is acquainted with fear of not knowing what is going to happen in their lives. And when you add the sickness or disease to this equation, it becomes very fearful for most people. Thus, typically you've found a person in a world of hurt. Furthermore, if these people are dealing with corporations who know they have the upper hand and can almost wait a decade before paying out much money to these people, what kind of situations do you have? In my opinion, a nightmare for those individuals applying for long-term disability. Initially, the process starts by gathering information regarding your condition. Most insurers can estimate the probability of the sick or injured person continuing to be able to work. After all, they've been evaluating claims and determining outcomes typically for years. The constant requests for updates, contacts with physicians, surveillance, and even harassment and intimidation does not always provide them with the information they need to deny a claim for most individuals. Therefore, what most companies used in an effort to deny claims is what? Yes, the contract. A contract that you signed in order to have a job in the first place or gain an individual policy. From my perspective, these contracts contain enough clauses to provide unfair opportunities for denying benefits. And against who? In most situations, it's against the people who have very little experience with contracts and certainly little understanding. Yet, even in some circumstances, a contract does not eliminate the claim. So what else can be used? Perhaps a misunderstanding or misleading of actions or deeds to convince the injured that they have no or few rights. Yes, all the stops can be pulled out in order to eliminate a claim. But the most important thing to do is to document it. I am personally convinced that if all the sick and injured brought their information to the surface for all to see, the change in the treatment and the level of fairness in this process would change. No one deserves to expect help when they need it, only to be turned away after making a claim for it. In my opinion, this is just outright wrong. Therefore, recognize where the most hurdles are in the process. First, the information being gathered about you may not just be on your behalf, but in order not to pay out your claim. Second, those people paying out benefits initially may continue sending those checks. In fact, they may wait for the worst time to stop them, and this is typically the second year. Third, most people cannot afford to pay an attorney a minimum of $5,000 to work on their case since these lawsuits are not on a contingent basis. I wonder who set the system up this way. Speaking of systems, because most long-term disability claims fall under ERISA, which is legislation Congress signed giving over many rights of the injured to corporate greed, in my opinion, even those willing to fork over a lot of money to file lawsuits cannot receive additional awards for having to wait for their benefits, which causes a great deal of grief for many people. The law only allows disabled individuals, should they be able to recover benefits in court, the exact amount that should have been paid out, because there is not a penalty for suffering that they cause the injured. What kind of Congress would sign this type of legislation? Perhaps one that aligns too well with lobbyists. Stay informed on Congress members in your state and check out their voting record. Your future is weighted on their actions. In summary, if anyone tells you this process is easy and fair, ask them how they came up with the answer. In my opinion, people are penalized because of becoming injured, treated as second-class situations in some cases, without the resources and skills to navigate a system that is set up from the start, not necessarily to look out for their best of interests. Therefore, be your best advocate, then realize when on an unequal playing field, outcomes are not always fair. But keep your chin up, continue to speak out against unfair long-term disability practices, and most importantly, make sure to help in creating changes that give the injured and sick a fair chance in receiving benefits they have earned and paid premiums on. Just imagine, it's a sunny day, life seems good, no complaints at the moment, yet in an instant life changes. One thinks, I'm so glad I signed that long-term disability policy because it looks like I'm going to have to use it now. But most insured learn rather quickly, unfortunately, that this is easier to pay a premium than to receive a benefit check. So the financial worries begin because most employees are only a single paycheck away from poverty, and it is easy to stay so close when wages stagnate for 30 years. It's hard to say when there's little to put away for a rainy day. So an insured lives in fear about how they're going to make it, because instead of being able to depend on their abilities, they're in the hands of an insurance company or employer. Will they be willing to pay? How long will they be willing to pay? In my opinion, it depends on how they view your claim and possibly you personally. Therefore, some injured develop the slave mentality because they know their financial lives cannot at this time be built by their own abilities, which means their personal freedoms are in jeopardy. Because of being in a precarious situation, most do just about anything to please their insurance company or employer. Due to fearing getting on the wrong side of them, most know they are at a disadvantage and perhaps they can hear the hammer coming down, which may shatter their meager way of life, which after losing 40% of your income is no picnic. From my point of view, this is no way to live. Decide you are the same person before the injury or sickness. Demand the same respect and dignity. Continue to survive the very best way you can, and realize a slave mentality will not improve your situation. It will not move you forward, but provide ammunition to keep you in a place that limits your ability to flourish. Continue to be creative and find ways not only to survive, but to thrive while dealing with difficult circumstances. Yes, it is possible. From my point of view, the possibilities of receiving disability benefits is too uncertain. Until long-term disability benefits are no longer kept from sick and injured people who have documented their condition, been qualified by the Social Security definition of disability, which is more strict for their eligibility, I would err on the side of being cautious, meaning don't wait until you need those benefits to protect your future. Start saving money that you control, because in my opinion, there are no guarantees in this equation if corporations receiving your premiums will give you your benefits. It's a situation of hope for the best and definitely prepare for delays, denials, or the elimination of a disability benefit claim. Long-term insurance companies or employers allowed to keep money from people needing these benefits to live on is financial abuse, in my opinion. Knowingly and willingly refusing to pay benefits to the injured means additional suffering for not only the individual, but in many circumstances, their family as well. In my opinion, it's a bad situation and it makes it worse. The sick and injured are being penalized because of unforeseen circumstances, while the bottom lines of insurers bloom. Where is the justice? Speaking of justice, how cruel can it be to intimidate the sick and injured by scaring them with the term fraud against them? Most have no money to defend themselves. They rely on fairness and honesty of the system. They have done what has been requested by insurers, and yet many still are denied. Prospectively speaking, much of what has been requested is not necessarily with the goal of making a determination about a claim. Many times, again, it's to be used to eliminate one. And who made these corporations king? Perhaps our U.S. Congress. Legislation passed does not typically help the injured or sick. The great lobbyists of the country have done this sector a major injustice, in my opinion. When money becomes the end game, and honesty, integrity, along with respect of one another goes by the wayside, then, from my perspective, we all lose. Because what this breeds is a distrust, and this is something that is difficult to get back, can undermine the functioning of an entire system. Is it okay to pay disability benefits when it fits a corporate model design to protect only its investors' interests? It might seem okay now, but a future where money is placed over the care and concerns of people, from my point of view, would not bring everlasting progress to the country whose moral fiber might be disintegrating. In summary, always be your best advocate. Review the record of the insurance company or employer before signing up for their policies. The more you know about them, the better you may be able to gauge whether they actually will pay out disability benefits when the sick and injured desperately need them. I'd like to take a moment now and thank AudacityInternetArchives.org and the musicians that help with our program. I appreciate these artists. They have great music and look forward to getting their information out on my site. Also, make sure that you go out and take a moment to take the accident settlement survey. It's ready for you. You can find it on Facebook at Talking About You with Estra, along with Twitter at Estra's Radio Show. For hashtags for the accident surveys, look for Estra Accident Surveys. Let's meet back here next Saturday, same time, 1:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, same day, Saturdays. No matter what you are going through, keep your head up and never give up. The information contained on Talking About You with Estra is not all-inclusive in assisting individuals in discerning information related to a car accident. Individuals seeking specifics on their case should seek professional assistance. The First Amendment of free speech has allowed Estra's radio show, TV, to state her opinion in addition to her guests and callers, which reflect life experiences. Talking About You with Estra or Estra's TV is in no way liable for misuse of the material. For more information, contact Sunlight Publishing, P.O. Box 69082, Seattle, Washington 98168. Thank you.